Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Clinical child psychologist Dr. David Coleman joins me now to answer your parenting questions, and you can keep them coming in. Text 51551 or you can get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32. Hello, David.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. I'm very well. Now, we've a lot of questions to get through, so we'll get straight to the first one. Can you ask Dr. Coleman about tics in children and when I should be concerned? So they explain, my daughter is 10 and ticking for 3 years now, head nodding, etc. It's never really bothered her, but now people are starting to notice. Have you any suggestions?
So I guess in most instances, ticking, you know, any kind of tics, little kind of, blinking or, you know, little head movements, whatever, are, you don't really need to worry about them. I think for some children, it's just a little stage they go through and then they move out of it. There's no kind of really clear indicator of what causes tics, although they do say generally that if you can reduce stress, reduce kind of points of anxiety, that that might help with it. But if it gets to the point that other children are starting to notice and they're starting to comment, and maybe, you know, for this mum, maybe she's worried that her daughter is going to start getting bullied now because of these little head movements. The best approach is what's called habit reversal therapy, which basically means giving her a new habit instead of the head movement or the blinking, whatever, but give her something else that's just much more discreet that she does. So it's about drawing her awareness to it in the first instance and then giving her something that she can do maybe with her fingers, or it might be some people put like a little hair bobbin on their child's wrist, and so they just flick the hair bobbin as a little way of, again, just, you know, having something to do to whenever they feel that urge or whatever.
But are you at risk then of that becoming the next problem?
Yes and no, but then that's, you know, I mean, that's not going to cause an issue, and it's very discreet and nobody else is going to notice. And so, you know, as I say, this is probably just a phase that, you know, her daughter's going through, although obviously it's lasted for 3 years with different tics for this girl. And so, yeah, it might be worth also then looking at other points of stress and you know, is it, for example, during the summertime, you know, does it ease off? Is it much less obvious? Does she do it a lot less? And that would suggest then that maybe there are things about the school year that exacerbate it. That means she is under a little bit more pressure. Is there something you can do then to reduce the pressure, maybe talking to her teacher or whatever it might be?
Okay. All right, let's move on to this 6-year-old now who wants to be in control. My 6-year-old daughter is very strong-willed. She likes to make all of the decisions. She struggles with being corrected or told no, which is something we're working on. She's recently become fixated when getting dressed about dirt on her clothes. She refuses to wear anything that even has a minuscule speck of dirt. She'll examine all of her clothes intently. This can be very challenging when you're trying to get out the door. She also gets fixated after using the toilet about still feeling wet. She'll wipe herself multiple times. This behaviour seems to be worse before an event like going to a party, etc. I'm wondering, is it a way of controlling things and managing emotions?
Possibly both. It may also be that sometimes I'm whenever I hear the word fixated, I'm always thinking, oh, okay. And then I wonder, is there some level of neurodivergency there as well? And so that might be worth checking to see, are there other issues, say, with regard to social communication? Does she, you know, some of the other things, like, you know, is she able to kind of read a room? Does she have the capacity for empathy? She's only 6, I know, but, you know, can she see anybody's point of view? You know, how is she? Because sometimes you find, for children who do become very fixated on things, are very rigid about things, that it is maybe something to do with autism. So that's, I think, worth having in the back of their head. She's only 6, and I think so much of it anyway will be to do with how are they going to manage her, you know, ultimately. And so I think it's about being as empathetic as you can while she's being, you know, very clear about what needs to happen and how it's going to happen, but also at other times then still being firm about what needs to happen. And so if it's the case that she has to be moved on before she's finished inspecting the clothes and she actually has to be bundled into the car, well, then that's what you do if it's a really important thing.
Even if it's distressing for that child.
Yeah, because you're then empathising with the distress and you're saying, yeah, I think that's really hard, and oh goodness, you know what we needed to do? I think we just needed to start earlier, didn't we? We maybe needed to call you 10 minutes before as opposed to 2 minutes before, or we needed to call you 10 minutes earlier than we did do because it sounded like you were really making, you know, having a hard time making a decision, or you felt that whatever. But I think, you know, it's always, I think, when you have a child who has a very unusual presentation, you know, different to your other children, for example, it's always worth, I think, being a little bit curious. I wonder what that's about now. Maybe there's a little bit something else. So it might be something worth keeping an eye on, and then maybe even going talking to a someone like me just to get an opinion and maybe bring her along and see if there's anything else going on for
her. Okay. All right. Well, I hope that advice helps. We're on to a 15-year-old now. Does my anxious 15-year-old need more tough love is the question here. So this is a 15-year-old girl in transition year. Recently, she's become anxious, literally overnight, to the extent that she rarely leaves her room. She won't go to school. She won't meet her friends. I've taken her to our GP. They've met with the school. She's seeing a therapist, but she refuses to engage in every normal life engagement, and I don't know what else to do. I believe she does feel anxious, but I also believe she enjoys the attention. Should I be indulging her or giving her a bit more tough love? Gosh, that's difficult, isn't it? Because they've done the GP, they've met the school, they're seeing a therapist, they're doing a lot of the things that maybe you might advise them to do.
For sure. And I think validating a young person's emotional experience is not necessarily indulging them. So yeah. I think you can still validate the fact that she feels anxious about different things. I think it really will help them if between her and them, they can puzzle out what it is that has led to this big turnaround that she's suddenly so anxious about so many different things. Because
that parent just sounds really frustrated now.
Well, I think it's, again, you know, for them, you know, this is a daughter who probably, you know, never really, by the sounds of it, had any kinds of issues. Mm. And so suddenly there's this huge change, which, again, I always, you know, do wonder when there's a big change in some child's presentation, their behavior, you know, what else has gone on? What else has happened? And so there may have been something on social media. There may have been something about her friendships. There may have been some incident in school that she hasn't yet felt able to talk about. And so hopefully with the therapy that she's getting, and with the kind of discussions with the school, they might come to see if they can understand it a little bit better. It is always possible, though, that for, you know, some children, when they do seem to be not coping, they do get a lot of support and a lot of people minding them. And for some children and young people, it can then become reinforcing, and they look for more of it. And so they become almost more helpless. And I think that's probably where this mum is at. Just wondering, is she actually making her daughter more helpless by supporting her in the way that they're supporting her? It doesn't sound like it, because the support sounds like it's the right kind of support. But I think it's, yeah, absolutely just about hanging in with her for the time being, but really seeing if you can explore what it might be that led to this rapid change, and then helping her to build back up her sense of resilience that she can cope with things as she used to do up until this incident, this event, this experience happened that led to the sudden anxiety.
But you're not recommending changing anything, because they've done the GP, they're doing a therapist, they've spoken to the school.
I think all that's helpful. Yeah. No, and I wouldn't be saying at this stage. Well, you see, so the thing when it comes to children and their worries, or teenagers and anxieties, is that if you overwhelm them, so if their level of anxiety, if they rated for themselves out of 10, they rated 8, 9 or 10 out of 10, then that's overwhelming. And so if you put them into a situation where they're going to start panicking, where they're actually going to have this overwhelming physiological and psychological experience of anxiety, they're not going to learn anything anyway. And so their daughter has to have a strategy to reduce her anxiety down enough, to regulate it enough, that she can then face some of the things that she's afraid of. And so that's where the tough love, if you like, might come in, where you're actually encouraging her to put herself in the way of some of the things that she's anxious about, like meeting friends again, or going to some kind of, you know, outside of the house activities again. But if those are overwhelming, if she doesn't have the coping strategies, then it's going to be counterproductive. And so that's the balance that they're trying to find. And so that's about working with the therapist, maybe, to see, you know, what skills has their daughter already learned in terms of regulating the anxieties? Can they be usefully applied? And can they then find, you know, some maybe graded or graduated approach to getting her to go to some event somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to come to this one. This is about an 11-year-old and friend groups. And anyone with girls in this age group, the preteen age group, will know all about this.
Just girls generally. I don't think it matters the age, from what I can tell. Yeah,
my actually, someone with a 27-year-old told me they were going through the same thing. So maybe you're right there. Yeah. My 11-year-old has a friend who wants her out of the friend group.
Okay.
And the other girls follow the girl who has decided that she wants this 11-year-old out of the group. How can I support my daughter? That's just a rotten situation, isn't it?
It is absolutely rotten. And so it's too much to expect your own daughter to resolve that situation, because this other girl has a lot of power. So she has whatever status power she has within the group. And so she's looked up to by other girls. Other girls are afraid to cross her by the sounds of it. And so if this girl has made a decision that your daughter is persona non grata, then your daughter is not going to be able to manage that. There's nothing she can do, and you know, unless she has some other extraordinary power herself that she can use to maybe, you know, kind of divide and conquer with some of the friends and bring some of the friends with her and split the whole group or whatever. That can happen, but that's unlikely to happen. And so what needs to occur, in my experience, is that between the mum, the school, or any other situations where these girls are all grouped together, another adult who has more power than this girl says, this is not okay, and shows that what the dynamic is and shows how she's actively creating the division. I mean, I think there are times when kids fall out of friendships, and I think that's okay. I think it's okay for kids to suddenly not want to be friends. It's the drawing everybody else away that might be the issue. So, I mean, this girl is perfectly entitled not to like, you know, this mum's daughter, if that's the case. But what she's not allowed to do is then draw all the other friends and isolate her in the way that she's isolating her. So that's what another adult who has power needs to come in. So that might be a teacher. If it's school, it needs to be a teacher. If it's happening in the GA club, then the mentor, the coach of the team needs to be able to step in. But somebody, or occasionally, if she has a good relationship with the mother of this girl, and she can talk with her, that sometimes works. Sometimes it doesn't, because what happens is the mother goes, that's ridiculous. My daughter wouldn't do that. You know, what's really going on is your daughter, you know, my daughter came to me and said your daughter did. And then the whole thing escalates.
Think you're on dangerous ground doing that.
You are. I mean, I've talked to parents who themselves have become socially isolated within their parent group because of the division that occurred with the kids in the group, and because they tried to do exactly what I'm suggesting there. So you're right. It needs to come with a little bit of a warning, but it's all about somebody who has more power than this girl, this other girl who's kind of leading the charge to isolate the daughter. It's somebody needs to take her in hand and say, this is not okay. We're not going to let this happen, and we're going to continue to observe. And if you don't want to be friends with her, that's fine, but you cannot actively turn all the other girls against her. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, of course, we know that that happens so subtly sometimes, and it all happens in whispers and behind closed doors. And probably at their age, there would be a bunch of them on Snapchat as well. And maybe some of it's happening on Snapchat. And so she's, you know, just left out in the cold. And you're right, it's a horrific situation. But too much for the 11-year-old to have to deal with. It's about the adults somehow trying to step in.
So if you go to the teacher, whoever that responsible adult is, I'm just worried about further pushback coming then in a very insidious way.
Yeah, but what more can happen? She's already been insidiously pushed out of this group.
Yeah.
So I don't think you're going to make the situation worse, other than this girl will, you know, perhaps try to poison the well deeper. Maybe. But then the other thing that, from my experience working with children in this situation, is that they're often very limited where else they can go, because there are times when you have to call it quits and go, OK, that's just, I'm not going to be able to be friends with her anymore. And so you want to move to a new friend group. But then if this girl is not just poisoning the close friends that she used to have, but is instead spreading stories all around the class, for example, then, or the class is small, there just mightn't be the opportunities. And that's the real difficulty, I think, for kids in that situation.
Very tough.
Yep.
Okay. My almost 7-year-old is outgoing and chatty with people she knows and in school. However, when I try to drop her to after school activities, clubs or parties, she becomes extremely distressed at leaving me and can't bring herself out of it, even though she knows that she loves the activity. Mm-hmm. I want to support her to be independent, but I find it really hard to deal with, especially with a busy family of 4 young kids. Any advice would be great.
So I think the fact that it's a busy family with 4 young kids means that this mum is probably a little bit under pressure at the drop-off times. And so it would help if she can get some kind of social support just to keep a handle on the other kids, so that she can actually just give her daughter a little bit of extra time at the handoffs. And also set things up so that with some of those extracurricular activities, that there's somebody there who's ready to meet her daughter. So if there's like an older teenage girl, if it's, say, for example, it's something like gymnastics, and so she's coming along to the gymnastics, is there one of the older girls who could be like a little mentor figure for her, who could come over and welcome her and go, oh, delighted you're here, come on in, and, you know, let's bring you over and here's your group. That's a great way, so, you know, to help children integrate and to help with that parting, that separation, because that's what this sounds like it's about, is the separation from the mum. And so, you know, when the daughter feels secure wherever she's going, she's no problem. But where she feels a little bit insecure, where she doesn't quite know how things are going to be, even though she has a sense it's going to be fun, but isn't yet fully, you know, kind of settled settled in with all the new friends or whatever it might be, she has a natural anxiety. And so I think because the anxiety is quite natural, it's just about, as I say, teeing it up so that there might be somebody there to support her. So an adult or an older teenager maybe who might be there ready to help her just make that transition from the mum to the group. And then just talking with her daughter and saying, look, I think it's going to be hard. And yet I think I know you're going to be OK. But maybe just having those extra few minutes that she's not got, you know, three screaming kids in the car and she has to just, you know, literally drop and run, because for her daughter, that just might feel a little bit too sudden. But if she could manage it so that she has maybe just, two or three extra minutes to make that transition, to find the person who she's going to hand her daughter over to, acknowledge and say, yeah, you sound like you're a bit upset. And oh, I think it's always hard. But oh, there's Mary. Oh, come on, Mary. Hi, Mary. Great. Yeah.
Here's the transition.
It just might ease the transition.
Well, we don't have two or three extra minutes, David. We are at the end again.
Ever.
But you'll be back with us again soon. David Coleman there with Parenting Advice, and David will be back with us very soon.